Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know what, David?
Oh my goodness!
Roll that back again.
No, do not. Do not. No, no, don't. Just move. Just move on.
One more time.
I'll explain later. Okay.
I don't care, David.
Go ahead. I don't even care anymore.
Oh my god. Is somebody, is that the kazoo playing Eye of the Tiger?
It's Andy Dirks playing a kazoo. These guys have been laughing their balls off for about 2 hours with this. Let's focus. And I'll, you know, by the way, Kenny and David, I want to tell you, we do have a pilot TV show we want to film with Jeremy Otto, but I can't say it on the air. I explained a little bit to David. I think it could be a hit.
You were also telling him he was number one for half of the update, so there's that too. I was like, don't do that to poor Jeremy. He did nothing wrong.
And
here.
Then imagine on some shows we could do a guest star, Jeremy and J-Mo. That show would be fire.
Wow. That would be a nice, nice touch to the show.
The Jeremy? Show could be called Tapped In. All right, let's just please. We want to start with something, and look, this is a Rico Beard exclusive. And yes, I'm really hoping you didn't watch the NBA draft last night. You need to let losers like me do that. I have a What You Miss segment we're going to do later in the hour. But a Rico Beard exclusive. You very plainly just said, okay, it's the halfway mark with the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we take Javi Baez out of it,
right,
the intergalactic surprise, what is the, of the 50 surprises with this team, what is the one?
The one that just stuck out with you the most.
Yep. Now, I'm warning you. I have one, but I really would rather you and Kenny and David and the people go first.
Okay.
Because you might disqualify mine.
Okay. We'll see.
And I'm worried about it.
Nah.
Because it's heartfelt. But I feel like you'll be like, that's not good enough.
Brother, there are 51 games over the halfway point. Today's feel good. You just took a series from the A's, the homeless A's. So
poor bastards.
It's all good. But no, it's just one of those. Everybody's going to say, well, Javi's the biggest surprise.
That's why we're taking Javi, it off the board.
Javi's off the board, folks. So 248-539-9797. Biggest surprise for you in the first half of this Tiger season.
And it can be the record on surface if you want it. But I think what you're angling at, outside of trying to launch Jeremy Otto's television career, we'll get to that later. Individual player, individual stat, something about this team. See, mine is, I'm going to say this. Mine isn't any one individual player. So I don't know if you'll disqualify.
No, Mike, it's anything. When you just take a series from the A's, anything is possible. It's Kevin Garnett.
I can't say that with a straight face. I know. Yes, Kenny.
I have mine if you would like it.
Yeah,
sure. Mine is how bad the bullpen is. Nobody talks about it because of Fetter and pitching chaos and all this nonsense. But wait,
Kenny just came out with a bat.
Wait a minute. This is me saying this, so this is kind of an out-of-body experience. Did you seriously start the show negative?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And you know what? And that's fine. You beat the A's. Congratulations. Let's throw a parade. I'm not like, what do you want me to say?
No, but because it's about the first half, and they're 20 games over 500.
No, it's great, and I love that, by the way. That's great, but also it's what they should be doing. They're in the American League. They haven't faced a ton of great teams. They're not going to face a ton of great teams for a minute now.
Kenny just decided the water's warm. Cannonball.
I'm not trying to be overly negative. I know after a win, it's tough to be negative like that.
Okay, no.
You're just surprised the bullpen hasn't been that good.
And it's based on what happened last year. You could kind of see how this year was going to go down. But I'll tell you this, pitching chaos can't be a sustainable, we say it every time, it's a miracle. Last year never happens and probably won't happen for another decade or two.
Well, it's
you
just
don't
funny.
See that every time.
Kenny, it's funny because I'm like, eventually I'm sure some people will get to something negative. I didn't realize this, yeah. It was a leadoff.
Man.
But, okay, Kenny, it's your opinion. It's validated. I asked a question. It can be good or bad.
In fairness to Kenny, we have talked trade deadline. I said, I need two high-leverage relievers. Well, that would speak maybe to the pen not being as good as we thought. Okay, I'll allow it. Mine's positive. I'm just not ready to say it yet.
Mine is positive, too. There were three individuals that I was looking at, but I'm just going to choose one. I'm going to leave the other ones for the people out there. But
no Javi.
No Javi. But I will say this for Scott Harris, good pickup with Gleyber Torres.
Yeah.
I like what I am seeing with him. He leads the team an on-base percentage. I mean, just a solid pickup. We said we wanted to see the Tigers make some moves. That was a move coming in, and I am liking what I am seeing. I mean, he hits the home run today, but aside from today, there's three individuals, but he's the one that I like what I see because I see consistency with him.
David, biggest non-Javi surprise. We are at the halfway mark, 81 games today. Your biggest non-Javi.
It would actually be Dylan Dingler.
That was another one.
When Jake Rogers went out, I'm not saying I was worried, but there was a reason why Dingler wasn't the everyday catcher. And I was a little bit, you know, in the back of my mind, like, how is this going to work out? It's worked out pretty well. Dylan Dingler should be the everyday catcher.
Do you realize, and I know this is a nerdy stat, forgive me, do you realize he is the best catcher in baseball at blocking baseballs?
No.
Nothing gets by him.
Huh.
He is, and I know it's nerdy.
Baseball got a staff for everything.
I know they do. I actually feel awful saying that, but I wanted to support David in that. It's something you don't see or think about or talk about, but the definition of the position is you're the backstop. Call a good game, pitch framing, but giving your pitchers the confidence that they can dirt one, that they can get extra aggressive with their off-speed stuff, and they know it's not going to go careening off your skull down the third baseline. Like, he's the best in baseball at that.
Is there a staff for glove snatching?
Yeah. Sure. Pitch framing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I feel so bad. David, I was trying to back you up, and now I feel like I...
No.
You're great.
David, he was also on my list, so I'm glad I didn't say him unless somebody else did. But no, I'm with you because he is your starting catcher now.
Yeah, and he's also done a great job at throwing people out at second when they're trying to steal. And I just bring people in. We've been watching the game with Jeff Rieger, and... You know, they tried to throw a guy out at second, and immediately the throw's bad. It wasn't a good throw, and immediately Jeff was like, yeah, that has to be Jake Rogers. Because we just know Dylan Dingler, he's going to be a rope every single time.
I mean, Rogers is just now known for that weird-looking mustache now.
Okay. Didn't have that on my bingo board. I will give you my biggest surprise for the Tigers, non-Javi, at the halfway mark. And I hope it doesn't get disqualified. But I'll let David, Kenny, and Rico judge. And if it is thrown out, I do have an auxiliary selection.
Bro, you just had the blocking percentage. They just took a series from the A's.
Well, and we created a reality show for Jeremy Otto called The Misadventures of White Update Guy.
We did. He's from the streets. He went to U of D.
Right, we want to recreate the Chappelle skit where he drops the kid off in the hood. But we wanted to have, like, MTV Disaster Date where Rico's in the earpiece with Jeremy, like, it's time to leave. It's time to go. Like, it just...
What do you mean you want to let you hold $20? He's about to jack you. Just give him the 20 and run.
It's a scam. Run. Like, just... Jeremy
and
is...
Xbox for how much?
Right. Jeremy basically came in dressed as a 60-year-old white grandfather today. So we just were really getting creative.
Hi, diddly-do.
Right, Ned Flanders. That's our update guy. All right. I will give you the biggest non-hobby surprise. Tigers take 2 or 3 from the A's. We'll do it next. I've got your draft needs covered. Rico's going to preview the Pistons pick tonight. I don't know if it's going to really make it move, but we're sure going to try. And he's going to preview 5 guys they might take in a second.
It's about effort, man. It's about effort.
Rico really worked hard. So let's respect him enough to give him 7 minutes to present. 97-1.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Tigers take the series from the A's. We're asking now, it is officially the halfway mark. Biggest non-hobby surprise for you as a fan at the halfway mark. Now, I'm going to offer this. David, Kenny, and Rico. Guys, don't hesitate. Shoot this down if you think it's garbage. My biggest surprise with this team is that there hasn't been one big hot streak. They just win every effing series. They're just robots. Like, it's a different version of August and September voodoo. They're doing a lot of the same things, but it's just professional in every way. And I understand they lost series to Tampa. They lost the series to the Red,
but no big, like, 8-9 game winning streak.
Like, the Twins won 13 in a row, and then they go 8-12 the next 20. All the Tigers have done is they've done their job seemingly every series. The reason that's my biggest non-hobby surprise is that is almost impossible to do in baseball, to just consistently take two out of every three, like clockwork. And you feel like even if they go into a game like today, where last night was a little bit of a, they were flat last night. They didn't have good at bats. There wasn't really a fear they were ever going to lose today. They'll win the series. Why? Well, things. This is what they do. Does that qualify as the biggest surprise?
No, actually, Mike, it does. And I want to add to that the fact that I think I can't speak for everybody on this show. But you kind of thought at some point on the flip side, man, they're just going to hit that drought where they're going to end up losing a bunch of games in a row.
Hasn't happened yet.
And they'll lose a game or you know, worst case is they split a series and go 2-2. And it's like, wow, okay.
I think that's the thing is, look, when you look at the data in June, a lot of the heroes of April and May have kind of cooled off, but they've produced a record at or above 500. No, it's not the incendiary pace they were on, but I just feel like they've morphed into something that is so hard to do in baseball. And it's June 26th.
They're a model of consistency.
Yeah.
They just get it. They just take series. So much so when they end up losing a series, it's shocking. Like,
think about this.
Wow.
Job dies. Cobb never pitches. Olsen gets hurt. Mize gets hurt and then isn't the same. Okay. Do you realize they've lost?
Flaherty's not great.
Right. They've lost 8 straight Saturdays.
No.
How? No clue. They've lost every Saturday.
Are you serious?
But does it throw them off what they're doing? No. Their pitching hasn't been healthy. The bullpen, albeit I'm saying it in a more graceful manner than Kenny, the bullpen hasn't been what we thought it could be or would be, still can be. And from a hitting perspective, look, it's a different hero every night. Mm-hmm. That's just what they are. Does that qualify as a surprise, or do you need me to be more specific?
No, it is a surprise because, I mean, the way you broke that down, because, yes, I think it was the flip side because I was expecting at some point during this run, it was like, okay, it's April, it's May. You know they're going to hit a skid. Where they going
right.
to? And they just haven't. They just go out there and they just keep taking series.
They've completed a half of baseball where, as Bill Belichick would say, do your job. They just keep doing their job. They don't let one bad game become three. They don't let one bad series become two. And they just play. I if that's not bold enough, I will produce something better.
No.
But it's the highest compliment I can pay the team is because, look, the Mets have hit a skid. The Yankees have hit a skid.
Everybody
the has. The Detroit Tigers, there's no skid. They just two of every. Now, there's no winning nine in a row.
Correct.
It's two of every three. Yeah. They're like a machine. Yeah. It's Spacely Sprockets. So I that
didn't
was
have fun. That on the bingo board.
Meet George Jetson. Kenny, you'd have to Google it. It was a cartoon when I was a kid. All right. David, ticket text? I mean, what do we got?
I'll give you some text. Let me give you this first. You're right. They haven't, the last Saturday they won on was April 26th.
Okay. Look here, Rain Man.
Yes.
How do you know?
I'm not even insulted at this point. What?
I mean, I guess from here on out, I'm just going to take whoever to win the games on Saturday. I mean, I like the Tigers, but I also like money.
Okay. It's just, they're a machine. I don't know. Win every Friday, lose every Saturday, win on the Sabbath. 2 or 3, we're out of town.
Going down to the ballpark, Friday game or the Sunday game?
Winning.
Saturday.
Yeah. David?
Surprise for me was Torque, remembering he knows how to hit a baseball. That is Tyler in South Lyon.
Yeah. Now, he had a good game today. He cooled off big time in June. But again, guys, Torque and Javi helped get the season off the ground. So whatever happens here on out, it is what it is.
It's going to be a new hero. But I get you. See, like for me, it was Gleyber Torres because Scott Harris saw a need. He identified it. He went out there and he got somebody that helped this team out. To me, coming up to the trade deadline, I feel encouraged because you know what? Do that again. Identify some talent.
It's funny you mentioned that. We had a caller who has since hung up. And the tenor of it is, why does anybody want to acquire anything? Okay, call a different show. Because it's an arms race. That's why. You can have the best team in baseball. It's an arms race.
It is.
Baseball playoffs are a coin flip. Arms race. You get more of more. Why? Because you can.
And your arms race for that caller is this. You get into the playoffs, you're in the eighth inning, and you have to have a pinch hitter come up, and you want somebody who you actually feel like can deliver and not somebody who you're holding your breath like, is this all we have?
David.
Andy Ibañez being sent down was a surprise to me. That has been in Wixom.
But let's be fair. Look at what's happened in his stead, if you will. And again, it's voodoo. But Jamai Jones is Ted Williams. But also, can we shout out Wenciel Perez, who improved on his weakness as a right-handed batter and casually hits 580. Look, there's an element of, this is the stuff that Scott Harris doesn't get enough credit for. This is about player development as much as anything. Some of it is voodoo, right? Like Bo Brisky didn't come back as Justin Verlander this year. You know, the herders of the world and all these other guys. Hey, last year was last year and the bullpen's been in flux a little bit, right? But with the hitting, look, man, how do you explain some of it? You got to give some credit to player development. And then there's just going to be an element of this where it's like, I have stopped trying to figure it out.
It's like trying to figure out Riley Green. You're great at all these numbers and you also strike out a ton. Right.
But again, as long as you're hitting right. for power right. and you're driving in runs, how you get out, I don't really care. But you're right, is that I will have to do research, as resident Rain Man apparently, I will do the research of, like, what are the best seasons players have put up with 200 strikeouts? He's on pace to strike out 200 times, right. But he's got an OPS of like 850.
Right. There's games where he just carries a team, and then when he doesn't, when he has that bad day, they're like, Riley, we got you. We're going to score some runs. Don't worry about it.
All right, David's telling us we're number one. We will get some of the calls, some of the ticket texts. Tigers take another series. I think that's the biggest surprise. They seemingly just take every series.
No, I like that.
No crazy streaks, good or bad. They're just consistent.
Right. I like the player acquisition and Gleyber Torres.
248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, we get to the people. Tigers take another series. They are at the halfway mark. They are 20 games over, and it's just a question. The biggest non-Javi surprise of the first half. Because in order to attain this level of baseball, and you don't have some $7 billion payroll, and your pitching staff's been injured, your bullpen hasn't been what we thought yet, revert to awesome record. So what's the biggest surprise, non-Javi? Javi would be one of the biggest surprises in, I don't know, maybe baseball history. I don't even know what to tell you at that point.
Brother, the fact that, you know, the as of voting right now, he's a starter on the All-Star team. That, I mean, it, that's also it ridiculous. Just keeps going crazy and crazy.
Summer of Javi. Correct. Look, let's get to the people, see what they want to add to it, give you a little draft stuff in the 5 o'clock. Go to Steve, 97.1. Stevie, how you doing?
Hey, doing great. How about you?
Good. Hey, Steve. What's on your mind, Stevie?
Hey, so I got to say it's kind of a twofold scenario. The first thing is, like, Torkelson's defense. Do you know how many errors he made 2 years ago?
A zillion.
11. He's got one this year, and I am not a Torque lover by any stretch, but his defense and how he picks up this infield, that's substantial with helping save runs. On the flip side, we think Torque is leading this offense, and the fact is, it's not sustainable. Like, he is slugging OPS at 800 right now, and that man will not keep it up. We gotta find. You mentioned we have different heroes. If we're counting on Torkelson to keep this up, it's not happening. I was glad to see the home run today. I was there.
Yeah, he had a rough month.
The reality is, he is not the answer at first, and we're winning despite him.
But hold on. I think you can meet in the middle on this one. You're right in the month of June. Now, April and May, come on, we got to be fair now, Stevie. He powered this thing. He is probably a poor man's Pete Alonso. That he'll be a guy that's going to hit 220, maybe get to 30, 35 homers. You got to be selective. You're going to know certain matchups you're going to sit him down for. But he's been an important part of the team. Now, you're right. Like, if July looks like June, we're going to have a different conversation. It's why I try to be super pragmatic with baseball. I don't react every day. I don't even react every week.
Now, and add on to what you've said, Mike, it's almost like the players, even when they go through the bad streaks, they don't fall that far down that you're saying, like, yep, and I knew it. The bottom has fallen out. It's like, okay, they hit their drought, but somebody else picks up the slack. And then they come back and they hit a home run or they do something.
Do they need one right-handed bat that is proven, that plays every day, that's going to be a high-level player? Yes. I mean, they tried with Bregman. They tried. I'm never going to knock them. They tried. But, yeah, I mean, I don't get people who call in and are like, well, why does anybody want anything? I can't help you. Because ultimately, when you have 4 or 5 guys on the roster with almost a 10-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio, and you get to the playoffs where you strike out more because the pitching's better.
But I think those are people who believe you got everything that you need right now. So just be happy.
All right, put on a Disney movie while you're at it. TJ, 97.1. What's up, Teej?
I don't get people. Hey, Mike.
Yes, TJ.
I like your point, but my thing is, I'm trying to lean in towards.
Hold on, TJ, are we on the speakerphone?
No.
Oh, okay, you sound muffled. Yeah, I tell you what, Teej, give me a minute. Kenny, check his phone, because I want to hear what he's saying, and I can't understand him. I'll go to EJ in light of TJ. EJ, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, EJ. What's up?
I think the biggest surprise is the base running, man. They're killing it. That stat that Dan Dickerson mentioned this evening or this afternoon about being 37 bases over the average team. That's insane.
Yeah, and
that's
guess
what's
what?
Getting us these runs, that's what's consistently winning series. We're doing that every game.
Yeah, it's fundamental.
We're reaching first to third. We're reaching second to home on a single.
And you're doing
that's
it where Parker Meadows has played no role. And he's one of the best at it, right? Like, Parker Meadows was hurt, and then since he's come back, he's been bad. It's okay to say that. Mm-hmm. Imagine if he gets it going. You're right, though, EJ. Right. It's the margins, right? You heard Trajan Langdon say that the other day. The Tigers beat you in the margins. They don't have more talent than a lot of teams, but they play a better brand of baseball.
Yeah, and they got depth for the first time in – I don't know how long. So when people come off the IR, they're going
to
be.
Yeah, and I think the easy swap is when Vierling comes back, we say goodbye to Sweeney. That's an easy swap. Anything beyond that, because again, Vierling's bat at third and in the outfield is just, and again, Javi being functional, you don't need Sweeney in the way that you thought you were going to. So yes, that one is an easy one. Beyond that, they'll have tougher decisions to make. They will. I mean, no, I don't think Jones is going to stick around. But let it, hey, while the guy's hitting $7 million at the plate, you just let it roll. But EJ makes a good point. The base running, the small stuff. Yeah. And again, they don't steal a lot. That they are not. They take the bases in different ways.
Yes. They're aggressive on the base path. Just not stealing.
Correct. Yes. Which is kind of unique. Because if you have the ability and the smarts and the you need some speed, you can't be Daniel Vogelbach taking an extra base. But yet they don't steal.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at least here they know the ballpark and they know, okay, the ball hit there. It's going to careen this way and
the
I can probably
ball does not
score.
Fly. All right, let's go to TJ. Let's TJ, are you back with us?
All right, Mike. Yeah, man. Look,
there you go.
Here's the thing. I love your point, right? You know, the 2 of 3, that is surprising. But as the last caller just said, this is a Finch coach team. So I kind of want to give Finch the nod there because, like, that's kind of not surprising with Finch. He's a great coach, and he's getting the best out of those guys, and he's preparing them to bounce back series after series. So that is surprising, but not really surprising for a Finch team. Now, Torkelson will be outside of Javi. Come on, man. It's really a no-brainer. Yeah, we hate the 220 average. I mean, but if he hits 27 home runs and 82 ribbies, compared to where he would have been, or, well, I'm going to say would have supposed to have been at the start of this season, that's got to be it, guys. I mean, I'm going to sit back and listen, but that's got
to
be it.
Yeah, again, it'll come down to the average I don't care about. Batting average is passe. That's just a past tense thing. It's nothing that anyone really cares about. Your OBP, your OPS, OPS plus, slugging, that's he's going to have to continue to hit for titanic power if he's going to be a value to this team, because you can't have an on-base percentage of 305, 310, and truly help your team. Again, his OBP right now is 326. Would love to see that, you know.
Yeah. So, real quick, Rain Man.
Oh, come on, man. I had good stat.
You had two, actually. So, when did the batting average just go away like that?
It's a great question. I'd probably say...
Because I mean, I feel old because when I grew up, it was, you know,
I'd say 10 years ago.
You know, can you bat 400? You know, Rod Carew and George Brett and all those guys flirting when I was a kid.
Yeah, I'd say about a decade to where OPS started to become more valued. The OBP has always been a bigger consideration than batting average for baseball nerds. But to what you're talking about, where like batting average is way in the background. And it's the OPS being displayed at ballparks and stuff in the last 10 years, for sure.
Okay.
And again, you listen, is it nice to see a guy step to the plate hitting 318? Sure, no one's going to be mad at that. I mean, hell, Jacob Wilson for the A's is hitting like 380. But it's ultimately what you do.
I got you.
I don't know. Like, look, if Riley Green finishes the year hitting 240, but he's got a 900 OPS, ain't nobody going to care. No, absolutely not. 248-539-9797. Do you want your what you missed last night draft fiesta?
Yeah.
For all the people who didn't waste their time, I did. Let me let you in on what you missed.
Okay.
We'll do it next. All right. So hopefully you guys got to enjoy your evening and you didn't waste your time with the NBA draft. Pistons didn't have a pick. Let losers like me handle it for you. So what I'm going to do, this is a blitz. I'm going to present to, who are we kidding? Kenny didn't even know the draft was last night. Rico and David. And I'm going to give you everything you would need to know about the draft last night in a nice, neat package. Fair?
Fair.
David, music. Okay, that's.
Okay, the remix of that is hilarious, by the way.
And begin. Let's go. Ready?
Yes.
Big storyline, Wemby rules. Yes, we all know Cooper Flagg went number one, but number two, Dylan Harper went. He receives a call from Wemby. Hi, my name is Vic, and I play for the Spurs. Harper's like, yeah, dude, I know who you are. Like, Wembanyama absolutely going full Tom Brady with this whole deal, welcoming rookies. It's wholesome, damn it. I love Wembanyama.
The only funnier thing would have been Vic who?
Yeah, did he think he was going to trick him? Like, is there another Vic on the roster?
Right, you're on a FaceTime. You're a 7'5 Frenchman. I know who you are. Okay, number two.
Well, he does look like the, what is he, a monk now?
Let's stay focused. You didn't think it was possible, but boy, it is. Monica McNutt got worse at these interviews. Oh, my effing God. Get Monica McNutt off this broadcast. Oh, hey, you're standing here with mom and things. And, whoa, what's it feel like? I don't know. Just became a millionaire. Feels terrible, Monica. Any other stupid questions? Then the best part, the one guy was like, hey, don't talk to my mom. She's emotional right now. Just let her enjoy herself.
Mom,
you're crying. What do you think?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because as I'm watching, I keep telling my wife, why is she asking these questions? What is happening right now?
So effing bad.
Because you're told in the production meeting, go for the crying, go for the emotion, go for the tears. This is their big night.
Yeah, here's the other brilliant question she asked. Hey, when you gave your kid a basketball, was this your plan all along? You know what? I wish the mother would have looked at her and went, you're GD right it was. Right here.
We were actually hoping for an accountant.
Yeah, but exactly. I was hoping for CPA, but we'll take 7-foot wing who just got paid 20 mil. Ace Bailey's plan. You've been served. Ace Bailey decided, I'm not working out for anyone. I'm not talking to anyone. I want to force my way outside of the top five.
And I wanted to find the most ridiculous jacket to wear tonight.
And there was Danny Ainge putting another Yule log on the fire.
Hi, Ace. This is Danny.
Hey, Ace.
This is Dan.
How'd that plan work out? Welcome to Utah, bitch. He went to the single worst place you could go. Any thoughts on Ace Bailey?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how he goes, because the fact that he measured, he wasn't as tall as he said, and he had this list, I want to do this and I want to do that, and now you're off to Utah. Good luck with that. I don't think this is going to end well.
David?
I absolutely love it. Let him rot. Chose this.
Up next on my takeaways, ABC and ESPN need to go out of business quickly.
Okay.
The coverage of this draft by both networks was an atrocity. If you chose ESPN, you had Kendrick Perkins, who simply can't talk. You had some person named Andrea Carter I've never heard of, the always atrocious Malika Andrews, and then Jay Billis, who looked like he resented the fact he was even there. Awful. Then we go over to ABC, where you got to indulge in Stephen A. screaming about players he's never watched, and Bob Myers, whose hair is angelic, look like he wanted to kill everyone, even at one point telling Stephen A., you could never be a GM, you would have so many problems. Stephen A. goes, oh, really? Like what? Bob Myers says, how long do we have?
Wow.
It just, the whole, it's, you could combine the broadcasts and you wouldn't find four people who are any good.
Because for me, Bob Myers, he should have just been on, you know what, simulcast it. I want to hear from him because he was a GM. He's made picks. I want to pick his brain. I want to hear what he has to say. You know, get him out there.
Getting Stephen A.'s thoughts on a French player that no one's watched, but certainly he hasn't watched. Oh, my Lanta.
I would rather him I'd call him Paul Sarek.
Brian Windhorst.
Brian Windhorst.
You can't do this.
Because, you know what? I blame Kenny for this. But I'd rather hear him and Windhorst just go back and forth because I respect what they have to say.
Thank you. Versus Stephen A., who, I don't mind raising my voice. Hello. Stephen A., it's all yelling all the time about nothing. He could be yelling about a pistachio. All right.
Because I think Stephen A. now believes that he is a part of the league.
Number five, I'd like to shout out the random Chinese guy who got drafted in the stands. I've never seen anything like it. Hansen Yang thought he was going in the second round, but he wanted his moment. Respect. Also, 7-footer in an all-white double-breasted suit. Bold.
Mm-hmm.
This dude got taken 16th, and all of a sudden, they put the spotlight up there, and you go, Oh, my God, he's walking down from the rafters. Mm-hmm. Amazing moment for him.
You know what? That's called betting on yourself and winning. You don't want me in the green room? Don't care.
They didn't even have B-roll of this guy.
I loved it. Stephen A. was like, I don't know anything about this guy. Keep going, guys. I'm like, whoa, okay.
At least he admitted it. Also,
I got one. I want to see if it makes your list.
Okay, I have to edit what I put in the notes, so let me clean this up. Is Joe Dumars still a bleeping moron? That might be one of the worst trades I've ever seen. You trade 23 and an unprotected pick, not in 2030, next year to move up and take Derek Queen. Bro, you're the Pels. You're going to be bad. You just gave potentially a lottery pick away next year. What?
Yeah, I like Derek Queen, but the unprotected part was... No. Did you even try to protect the pick? Because you probably could have gotten him and said, it's going to be protected. You really were that in love with him.
Dude, he drafted a guy with narcolepsy when he ran the Pistons.
You know what?
You win. I mean, it's just, Joe, don't ever change.
What did Stephen A. have to say?
I couldn't. it was like bouncing between terrible options. Awful. David, I want to direct this towards you first. The amount of meaningless nothing burger trades in the mid to late stages of that round, it is maddening. You should essentially give every player every hat.
I agree.
Have them stack them and put them on their head because nobody got drafted by the hat they were wearing.
Mm-hmm. Right. The fact where it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, David.
No, go ahead.
It's like when they have to say, and he's going to actually stay with his team. Because it's like, if you know he's going to be traded, just give him the new hat.
Right.
Why do we have to go through this? Like, NBA, you're a billion-dollar industry. You're supposedly smart. Have multiple hats. Hey, you know, give me that back. You've been traded. Here's your new hat, son.
Yeah. I also love the announcements of trades. Yeah, it's a trade that'll get figured out later. All right, with the 23rd pick.
Well, they announced the number 10 pick, and then they came back before the 11th pick, and the commissioner said, we have a trade to announce. Like, we know about this trade. It happened 3 days ago.
Another note from last night, the Brooklyn Nets had five first-round picks. No team has ever had that. The problem, according to league executives, they were LOLing their way to sleep last night at whatever the hell the Nets did, including taking the kid from BYU, Denim, or whatever his name is. He can't shoot. He's a 6'9 stiff at point guard. He can't shoot. And they took Rico's guy, Danny Wolf,
which I wish he would have went to another team because
he'll get to play.
Mike, you got 26 people on your team.
But like, you're Danny Wolf.
Right, but Danny Wolf's going to have the game of his life in his one audition because they got to figure out real quick. It's almost going to be like American Idol. Okay, we got to whittle this down to 15. Danny, what do you got?
And last note, I just want to get your opinion. Look, I thought Danny Wolf was in a good spot because he won't be blocked by a bunch of aging vets. He'll play.
His game will translate to the league. Just don't let him bring the ball up the court.
What do we do with Jace Richardson? Now, he fell. But he's not going to grow anymore. He's undersized to be a 2. He's probably not athletic enough to be a 1. Did he land in the right spot in Orlando that they traded Cole Anthony? Could he be the new Cole Anthony?
Cole Anthony over to KCP. So, yeah, he's going to come off the bench. They got rid of Gary Harris. Like, there's going to be a spot for him, but he's going to have to learn how to play some defense better if he wants to stick in the league.
David?
No, you're right. You're exactly right. But, you know, listen to the ESPN talking heads last night for the draft, and they said he's a great defender. So,
yeah, I saw that, and I was just like, actually, he wasn't. But you know what? Hey, shout out Jeremy.
Denver's picking.
Jeremy Fears got some run last night. They showed him up there when his brother got drafted. Mike, you missed the funniest one. And if you weren't paying attention, you didn't see it.
What?
Colin Murray Boyle, when he got drafted by the Raptors. Did you see what happened?
I watched. He hugged his girlfriend who plays for South Carolina.
No. Before that, shakes his head and lets out a F-bomb.
Oh,
I missed that.
Oh,
go back and rewatch it.
Okay.
When they said the team, he just was like,
okay,
bleep. And then he got up and posted. I don't think he knew the camera was on him.
He didn't say, oh, Canada, apparently.
He
all
did
right.
Not say, oh, Canada. So I thought maybe you saw that. that. But he shakes his head and drops an F-bomb.
Damn.
And then gets up, hugs his girlfriend and everybody else.
And somewhere Ace Bailey was in the corner asking for matches for his hat. Everybody really thrilled. Guys, it was a dumpster fire last night. Very little drama. Players nobody knows. Awful coverage. You enjoyed your night. And that's all that matters. And that is what you missed from the first round. Oh, hey, I'm here with Mom. Hey, Mom. 5 o'clock. Great to have you with us. Tigers bomb the A's, win another series. We open the show with Tiger Talk. Biggest non-Javi surprise. Odyssey.com rewind if you want it. Want to get a little draft in tonight. Pistons are picking. But real quick, just some news that is... Rico, I know you always love the bet on yourself guy. Did you see the news with Austin Reeves today?
No.
Austin Reeves has turned down a max extension from the Lakers. It was going to be 4 years and $89 million. He can get more as an unrestricted free agent next year. He's turning it down. Now, again, Austin Reeves is a weird backstory. Originally, the Pistons were drafting him.
Mm-hmm.
His reps, basically, from the way the story goes, told the Pistons, I wouldn't do that if I were you because he's not showing up.
Right.
And he wanted to go to L.A. He bet on himself to go to a certain place.
And it worked.
Yes, and he got a 3-year, $54 million extension. He averaged 20 a game this year. You've got Luka and LeBron, and he's turned down $89 million over 4 years. Wild.
I think at that point, he doesn't know if LeBron's going to be there. So at that, what are the Lakers going to be? So I don't want to lock myself into this team. And then LeBron decides, you know what? I want to take my talents back to Cleveland.
And before anyone calls up and asks, no, there's been no indication the Lakers would even entertain an offer. So we don't need to go there. All right. You have a question about the Pistons. You can ask.
I do, but before I do that.
What?
Mike, is there anything more useless than the grade of a draft pick the very next day?
Oh, B minus, A plus, D. No. I can't even believe people still do these things.
Everybody got a B except for your guy who came out of the stands in the white, the 7-footer. He was a C.
Hansen Yang.
Okay. He was a C.
That guy's my hero.
Or as ESPN just put Yang Hansen up on the screen.
Yeah. Well, they also showed Cooper Flagg. One problem. It was a rather black man on screen. I'm pretty sure Cooper Flagg isn't black.
Oh, and
rough
I forgot.
Night for ESPN. You're looking live at a black guy? ESPN, get it together, man.
Cedric Cowherd was Colin Cowherd on ESPN.
Yes.
Yeah, Malika had a great night.
Okay, but see, you know what? Now, see, you just pulled the pin and threw the grenade. She's terrible.
And never came back. Hey, you know, I made a mistake. You're just going to act like you didn't say Colin Cowherd.
She's talking to the commissioner all night. Problem. They didn't interview him. He was just on the stage every time they came. Thank you, Commissioner. He ain't talking to you.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get to the actual question. Because I could bitch about the coverage all night, and I know my listeners don't care.
Focus.
All right. I hate Kendrick Perkins. Even though he brought my team a championship in 08, and I'll always love him as a player, might be the worst broadcaster to ever broadcast.
They got
to
do better.
I'm glad my sport's not the only one with bad coverage. This feels refreshing.
ESPN and ABC made the NHL look like a wealthy sport last night. And you weren't even sending crews to your playoff games. You basically had the McKenzie brothers broadcasting from the back of an RV in Banff. And it was better than what the ESPN and ABC put out last night.
They actually have better people who they could have put out there, and they chose not to. And that's what was frustrating. Because when it comes to, and I'll get to the question in a second.
Yeah,
but when it comes to the draft.
I'm off the rails.
Because for a lot of people, you don't know these players. You never saw these players. So what I need is somebody who actually watched players overseas, or somebody who knows what a GM is thinking. I need that type of insight, because I don't know if I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, did we do good? Are these guys worth anything? Tell me something.
Jay Billis looks like he resented being asked to work. It was so bad last night.
You get Jay Billis, who's arrogant and think he knows everything. I know. I watch these
David,
guys
at least
play.
I can trust his opinions on the domestic college players.
Right.
When you go over to Bob Myers and Stephen A. Smith, you think Kirk Bob Myers is sitting around and watching Obi-Wan Kenobi play for France? It ain't happening.
Kendrick Perkins.
But at least
Perk went 0 for the night. Oh, this team needs a big. Draft a point guard. This team needs a point guard. Draft a big. Kendrick, just, you know what? Go to the snack bar. It's over. Just, you got to go, Kendrick.
So, yes, it was frustrating because it was just like, y'all almost wanted to, you sent the text out. Was there an alternate broadcast where I could just get.
I was begging.
Some good content.
And Cookie screwed me over. He didn't text me back. And maybe he was like nestled in his log cabin or whatever the hell they're doing up north. The point is, I'm like, dude, get me away from these broadcasts. Just any, I don't care. Do Mystery Space Theater 3000. Like anything beats this crap.
Okay, so I thought I was crazy. Because I searched everywhere. I'm like, let me see. Does NBA TV have something?
I was thinking anyone? YouTube. I was going to put the draft on an iPad just to get away from the television coverage.
I ended up doing the live stream Field of 68 at the end of the draft.
Because if I told you this was from last night, would you believe me?
I would have believed you.
One problem. It's 2 years old. I could play. Hey, here's what Stephen A. said about the Pistons last night. Here's what Stephen A. said about the Blazers. It's all the same.
I just wanted to hear the breakdown and Colin Cowherd going to the Trail Blazers.
Yeah, exactly.
What's his 3-point percent shooting? I was like, did she say Colin?
She's awful. Can we just move forward?
Well,
what was the question again?
Okay.
You get me going on this stuff and I can't stop.
Okay. Your question is this.
Yes.
For you, David, Pistons fans out there, tonight the Pistons have their draft.
Yeah.
Is there anything about tonight that excites you that's going to move the needle? Or is this just kind of, we're going to let this play out and you're going to have to make your move via free agency or via trade? Is tonight a night that can shape this team in a different direction? 248-539-9797.
I know what I want to say, but I want to exhibit personal growth. So I will say it's complicated. I have an answer for you. It is not going to be smarmy or what I would like to say, which is no. But I have an answer, and I need a moment to explain.
Okay. Because later in this hour, I will give you a name of one person that I think could help this
team.
But
you have five names.
I have five names, but I have one that if this person is there on the clock.
Is someone going to tell him Jackson Kohler's not draft eligible? I don't mean to break your heart live on the air. You realize Jackson Kohler's not available.
I never said that.
Okay.
He's going back.
Thank God.
He's leading the team to the Final Four.
Rico selects Mateen Cleaves.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, is that who we're talking
about? Rico turns in the card for the Pistons tonight.
Taking strays right now?
Damon Bethea. All right, listen, we'll get to it. I want to explain why there is something. Once again, if you think I am not answering this appropriately, throw it in the garbage. But I will give you a sincere answer next. Stephen A., what do you think about the pick? Last night was one for the ages as far as broadcast malfeasance. Okay, so to answer your question, is there something the Pistons could do tonight that would excite me or make me happy at pick 37? Here's the way I would describe it. If you're watching, I think there's two categories of players that in the second round, these are the success stories. I think A, it's undervalued, experienced college player. Guy who stayed in school. Guy who simply knows how to play the damn game. Mm-hmm. That becomes a Jalen Brunson type guy. That becomes a Michael Redd type guy. A Draymond Green type guy. Experience, IQ. Mm-hmm. They're smart. They're not going to do dumb bleep.
Yeah.
Might be limited, but they can play.
Insert them immediately into the line.
Is it sexy? No, but it can work. The other type is this, a guy that has one singular off the charts trait. It could be athleticism. It could be shooting. It could be handles. You're drafting a trait.
Like a 3-point artist.
Yeah, whatever it may be. And you're hoping that you can somehow backfill and piece together the other parts to make the player functional. The thing I don't like doing, I don't like seeing teams, including my own, just throw these international darts out there. Look, Manu Ginobili ain't there no more.
Going full Spurs.
Right. Even a decade ago when Jokic got taken during a Taco Bell commercial, the scouting is too good, and any of the good international players, they are now known, vetted, and drafted in the first round. So to me, it would be experienced player or a almost like a toolsy draft pick. Like in the NFL, you take these guys in the fourth, fifth round, the tools are there.
They're
like
down back.
You took Manu.
Right.
Okay? Manu has the tools. Now, we've got to essentially teach him how to play football. But if it works, you've got Jordan Mailata.
Correct.
So, and being totally sincere, that's what I would look for.
Okay.
I'd be bummed out if they took some guy whose name I can't pronounce, who won't be here for 2 years.
That they just basically say, stay where you're at. Don't fly over here. Play on your team for 2 years and we'll see you.
That
instead of putting you in the G League, just play for your
team. Yeah, it drives me nuts because the guy basically turns into Frederick Weiss and never comes over here. Yes, David.
I don't foresee anything they can do tonight that would you know, excite me. I don't see it. It's a second round selection. Many of them don't even make the roster.
Correct.
So I just don't
see
anything.
But from a typecast, do you agree with the two types of player I'd look at tonight? Like, I've got a name. I don't want to say it and ruin Rico's list. I don't know if this player is on there. I'll tell you this player plays in the SEC.
I think I know who you're talking
about.
I'll
tell you this player's battle tested.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
It would be the type of guy I'd look at. But the other one is you just take a freakazoid. You take some, like if a guy's got off the chart athleticism, but you're not sure what else he can do, don't care. Bring him in.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just won't be excited about anything.
There's nothing that they can do.
Really? No, it's nothing.
All right.
It's nothing.
Trade and anything?
No. Well, if they trade for a veteran tonight,
so
sure.
So in your world, it has to come via trade for an existing player or
correct.
Free agency. Nothing.
Someone that I've seen play that I know can contribute to my team next season. I'm not sure that the second round pick can do
that. No, you're probably not then, David. Here's the other note from last night. Remember, we've talked about it, and this is before you knew he was even available, was Derek White. Did you see the reports of the Celtics' reaction to an offer they got?
No.
So apparently, Toronto offered pick 9 and Jakob Poeltl for Derek White, and the Celtics basically laughed in their face and were like, yeah, we need way more than that. Yeah. So, yeah, again, it just goes to show you can pick up the phone, you can lowball, you can make offers, and teams have a right to hang up on you. But no, the Celtics were never trading Derek White for the number 9 overall pick in this draft. It's never happening. It's ridiculous.
Is this a prank call? Seriously. That's what I would have been like.
I'm pretty sure the Celtics reacted the same way as the kid from South Carolina when he found out Toronto was on the phone.
You saw that? Yeah, I just showed.
Oh, he showed me. I caught the part where he hugged his girlfriend and hugged his mom. I missed the part where he dropped a very obvious F-bomb, knowing he was going north of the border.
Shakes his head and says it. Okay, yeah, I got drafted in the NBA.
Somebody was in the earpiece. Psh, there's cameras on.
You're on TV.
This is live. David, some ticket text before Rico gives us. I mean, Dave, you're going to. Now, listen, he's going to give you 5 names. You're going to have to approve one. You can't say none of this.
If he has the name I'm thinking about, that's the name I will approve, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Ticket text. We get on ticket text from any of the nonsense we've talked
Nick,
about.
Nick, oh, we have a lot. Nick in a car, we need a March Madness-style bracket of worst broadcasters. MLB, NBA, NFL, and miscellaneous. We can fill out the bracket 16 to 32.
Yeah. Well, because the state of the business has never been worse, ever. And it doesn't help that people continue to get dumber. Therefore, the networks can hand you more dumb, and you like it.
Mike nailed it yesterday. Shams talk like he has a comma after every word.
I meant to tell you, I specifically listened to Sham when he talked.
Mm-hmm.
And
Shams, blink twice if they have a gun to your head.
Like he was reading the notes.
Thank you.
I'm being told
This is what happens when someone who has no TV training gets thrown on TV. It's not easy. Or at least.
But you ruined it for me now, because now I can't watch. It's just like Kenny ruined Windhorse for me.
I was going to say, have we just completely ruined basketball broadcasts for you now?
Well, that pretty much is taking care of itself.
Well, I have to tell
Richard Jefferson doing the finals? Yeah, we're good.
I got to write it down. It's Windhorse, not Sarah.
Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel.
Right, and now every time Shams talk, it's like, okay, let's hear what you got to say.
You can't talk.
Come on, come on.
Okay.
They needed Doris Burke last night. Now she knows what she's talking about.
David, they needed Jesus. The ESPN and ABC broadcasts were a train wreck.
Well, it's funny because yesterday we were leaving, and I told Kenny, I said, I don't know if I can watch the Jay Billis portion of this tonight. I had no choice because I couldn't take Stephen A. Smith. So I had no choice. It was awful. I could put a brick at my desk and it would be better draft analysis than last night. I love the hate on the draft coverage, guys. Everyone in ESPN is awful.
It's terrible. And again, listen, like Monica McNutt, why is she in charge of doing these interviews? She's not good at it. In fact, she's awful. It's awkward. And at one point, I really started to question whether it was like happy hour, because late in the first round, I'm like, wait, did I hear that right? Dude, it was terrible. These players don't want to talk to you. And only one of those interviews, maybe two, like Malawach, the kid from Duke, that was heartwarming. Really well composed, right. Really well thought out answers. I just cannot imagine that kid's journey to the league. You go years without seeing your parents. Cool. The rest of it? Here's the other one. Can I give a bit of advice if you're drafted?
Okay.
If you're drafted and a woman is interviewing you, do you know what you don't answer the question with? Man, I don't know. Man, I'm blessed. Man, I love Jesus. And you're like, okay, I want to rewind this again. Her name is Monica. She's asking you a question. You can't just go, man. Dude, it's all, like all the, what, why?
I mean,
just answer the question. Yeah, man, let me tell you. Okay, again, that wasn't Jay Billis at the desk. Rico, I'm sorry. These things bother me.
No, what bothered me was at least most of the suits were toned down last night. Like, okay, you know what? 5 years from now, you won't be laughing at yourself. You actually looked ace. Did you let your 4-year-old niece dress you?
How about the guy who was out there like Mel Tucker at the Miami game?
Oh, with the cool eyes.
Was it Trey Johnson with the shorts? Ay, ay, ay. You had another guy out there looking like Mike Iverone from Race for the Crown. No shirt under a double-breasted. I'm like, what the hell are we doing out here? I mean, this is the best. The best was the Chinese kid. The kid who was sitting, he paid his own way. Right. He thought he was going to be a mid-second round pick. He came down the rafters looking like Jesus. Right. He was in a white, all-white double-breasted suit.
The only thing you needed at that point was the Bulls announcers. And now,
Hansen Wang.
Well, hold on, though, because when he stood up, then he tried to button it. He couldn't button. Button his jacket.
Hey, he enjoyed the pregame buffet, all right? Leave the kid alone. I'm happy for him. He didn't even know if he was going to get drafted. And he comes down from the rafters. That was phenomenal.
It wasn't a fat joke, Kenny. It was he was figuring out the button. That's all.
How about Rico showing me the draft grade for that kid? I'm pretty sure CBS gave it like an F-.
C. He was the only one they got to see. Everybody else, A+, A-.
So everyone was beautiful. Everyone had a great night.
See, but the thing is, when they did the whole Jace Richardson thing, I'm like, okay, let me hear what you have to say. And I totally disagree with everything that you said. This is, guys, did you even watch this kid?
No.
He's a great defender.
No, he's not. My example of all of this, look.
They literally had to, in the Oregon game, they had to take him off Oregon's best shooter and put Jay Nakins on him because he was lighting state. That's when Oregon was up by like 15 points. Because this guy, it was just like a revolving door to the basket. They took him off. Jaden, that's your guy now. Jace, maybe go over there and guard him.
As much as I can't stand old hairspray, a.k.a. Mel Kiper, I don't doubt that he watches. Todd McShay, I don't doubt that he watches. Like, this basketball stuff, right here, right now. How many games do you think Kendrick Perkins watched? Give me a break.
Zero.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. I don't know who Andrea Carter is. I had to Google. I have no, I'm like, how is this? How did we go from NBA coverage to this? It was unreal. And Rico's right. I mean, Stephen A, at a certain point in the night, he would just look at Bob and ask Bob questions about players Bob hadn't seen. And yep. I'm like, you've got to help these people. Right. There has to be someone who's watched.
It's not the first time that a bunch of European players are going to be here. So you know what? Maybe bring over a scout, somebody who's seen these players. And even if they're off to the side, hey, let's go to Mike Valeni. What? You've watched the Italian league. Well, tell us about this kid.
That was the thing they did. Is like once every 30 minutes, Jonathan Gavoni would crawl out of a hole and be like, hey, I saw this guy. I saw this guy in Spain. And then they'd pink panther him off the stage. And I'm like, all right, talk to you in 30, Jonathan. He would just pop up. He'd be like, Mr. Bean, I watched this guy in the Galapagos Islands. Whee!
It was just so bad. Bye-bye. See you later.
At one point, Stephen A. looks at Bob. Oh, that guy looks like he needs to gain some weight. Thanks, Stephen A. He's 18. He's 7 feet tall and 180 pounds. Man, the 100 mil's really paying off. You really got me started with this crap. Okay. You have a list.
I got a list.
David, you have to treat it sincerely. This is exciting.
It's not. Look, this ain't the fifth overall pick. This is what, pick 37? Okay.
Hey, pick 37 in the NFL, you'd be pumped at.
Yes. In the NBA, slim pickings.
There has to be 37 people that can play basketball.
We're in the DVD rack.
This is tough. All right, Rico's list is going to be brought to you by Admiral Nelson. We'll do it next, 97.1. All right, Rico has put a lot of work into this. What's the issue? What? Rico's laughing at me. So's Jeremy. What happened? All right.
Garbage cans just flying in here.
You're very direct and, you know.
Wow. I'm trying to help you. You know what? It's for another time. I'll finish talking to you after this segment. Hey, David, Rico's list music, please.
Okay, you know what? Can I get better music than this? Thank you. All right. Here's a list of five names that could be available when the Detroit Pistons select, unless they move up or trade down.
And are we grading these? Or do we just have to go, okay, if they take... Are we accepting of these? What's the scale?
Accepting, yeah.
Okay. David's going to play. All right, go ahead.
I'm waiting for the name. Right. I'm done.
You know what, Mike? I'm going to just lead into this. A guy that I think you like.
Mm.
Chaz Lanier. Shooting guard from Tennessee.
Yeah.
6'4". Okay. 3-point shooting. 40%.
Yep.
Average 18 points a game.
Experienced.
He's experienced.
He's played in a great conference.
Listed as a super senior. That's now a listing now. Super senior.
He's grown ass man.
Cons.
Oh, there's lots. Yeah. Go ahead.
Biggest con, well, two. He's a bit of a one trick pony. He can shoot threes.
Correct.
And he can shoot threes.
He
can shoot threes.
Right. Better looking Sam Hauser. I'll take him.
Defense.
Listen,
is not that great.
Listen, you can teach a guy to be a slightly below average to average defender with effort and with culture. I truly believe that. What did I say to you? Traits. He has experience and he has a trait. Sam Hauser has carved out a really important role with my team, including in the NBA Finals.
Yes.
It ain't like he was a lottery pick.
No, he
do the Pistons need more of? Shooting. Who made the most threes in the league last year? Pistons. Add another shooter.
Okay.
I like Chaz Lanier. I do.
It's okay.
Oh, hold on. Look over here. Go ahead, Captain Poopy Pants.
Eh.
Wah.
What?
No, okay. No,
let
seriously.
The record show
serious?
The white guy was sincere. Okay? More issues from him.
I'm waiting on my name.
Kenny, all I got to say is I can't wait till Sunday gets here and maybe he'll be in a better mood.
I'm waiting on my name. You know what?
My God.
I think Adu Thero.
Oh, Arkansas.
Arkansas. 6'6", small forward. Average 15 points a game.
Springy.
Wingspan of 7 feet. Good defensive player. Very athletic.
Yes.
His con.
Anything offense.
He cannot shoot the three.
I don't want him.
So much so, in the description, not kidding you, there's a reason why everyone in the FCC left him alone to shoot.
Yes.
Because they knew it was a waste of time to guard him. And his ball handling skills, not that great.
Think tall Mateen Cleaves. You don't even go out past the free throw line. No, I don't want him. They just, yeah. They already have a number of guys who won't shoot, can't shoot. No, not interested. Not for this team.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he can't shoot, so no.
All right, David. All right, Kobe Bray, 6'6".
Yup.
Small forward.
Kentucky.
From Kentucky.
Shooter.
You know what? You should have just been on the NBA show last night.
That's why I'm so upset about it. They put these bums on TV, and I'm nobody. I loved it. Shooter.
He is a shooter.
Shooter.
12 points a game. You transferred into Kentucky. Average 43.5% from the three-point line.
Onions.
He's great at catch and shoot. I think he hits like a ridiculous amount.
Yes.
His con is defense and
that's everything else.
It's a one-trick pony. He can shoot threes.
His con, life. But he can hit threes. Why? What did I say to you in the segment prior? Yeah. Traits.
Yes.
Yes.
He is that, you know what? You need a three-pointer. You put him in the game.
Stand in the
corner.
You put
him out there with Beasley, and now you got two guys.
Stand in the corner, and on defense, just try not to get separated from your nutsack. Okay. Just please keep the players in front of you. We'll figure it out.
I haven't said David's name yet, so I'm just going to move on.
No, I will accept this one, though, because he's 6'6 versus 6'4 Lanier.
Okay.
Okay. Maxime Reynaud.
Oh, Stanford, power forward.
Yes.
Little French fry.
7-footer, averaged 20 points a game, 11 rebounds.
Big shooter.
Shot about 35% from the three.
He's going to be a Celtic. Take him off your board.
Okay.
We're picking a second pick tonight.
Not great at the pick and roll.
Don't care.
And perimeter defense.
Tall person who shoots.
And finally.
I would absolutely accept. This is a good list. I don't care if he's bleeping all over you.
Thank you.
This is a nice list. To hell with you.
Here's a name that everybody in this state knows.
Uh-oh.
Jahni Broome.
Yes.
No.
That's my guy.
Whatever the opposite of elite Raz is, this guy has the athleticism of a homeless person.
Can I please do this? Please?
Oh, sorry. Okay. My bad.
6'9", center, Auburn, 18.6 points per game, 11 rebounds. He's a low post scorer.
Yes.
Tough defender.
Yes.
Shot blocker. Cons?
Legs.
So I thought that was the negative one.
Not a great shot from the outside.
Correct.
And
27% last year.
He is listed as a tweener, where he's not a legitimate big man in the NBA, but he's also not that power forward either.
Do you remember Trading Places?
Yes.
Eddie Murphy's character, Billy Ray Valentine?
Yes.
Do you remember how it starts?
Yes.
Where he's wheeling around on a board?
Yes.
That's Jahni Broome. No. No athleticism. Can't win with him.
But.
No. I said no first.
No. But I say it last. Here's the thing. His trait, it's the one, he can score down low.
That's what I like.
So, no. Remember, he's a super senior.
I understand.
And his skill trait is not threes, but what the Pistons did. Hey, you got somebody that you can dump the ball down low.
You penetrate and they can
score.
You know all about it, wouldn't you?
Listen. So now you can go inside out with Cade.
I don't want that. I want shooters. Listen, I said yes to
Brian. No, but think about this. If you have somebody who can shoot down low, now all of a sudden,
he'll
Beasley,
never score
Cade,
down low.
Jay Nivey, all of these guys will be open because you have to respect
it. I don't have to respect anything
Durin
about him
when he's down
that
there.
That guy plays like he's 55. No.
He's
no
a super
to him.
Senior.
No, I'll take Lanier, I'll take Reynaud, and I'll take Brea. Okay. 3 out of 5, and I love the work you put in. But I'm not drafting tweener non-athletes who need a wheelchair to get up and down the court.
Doesn't
no.
Need a wheelchair?
He has no athleticism, argue it. Kenny could beat him in a foot race.
You know what? You don't need him. Down low. That's all you need.
I don't need him to be athletic, though. I have everyone else to do that on my roster.
You know, do me a favor?
Down low, he can score.
Enjoy building your team. Guys drafting Homer Simpson at 37. No. I want
it's shooters. 37.
There's other
it's
super seniors on this list.
Who else you got? We got more?
No, I'm just saying. He's not the only guy that's been around for a while.
If it was 7, no, but it's 37.
Get me to guys who shoot 40% from deep. I
so
love
you
your
want
list.
The three-point guys.
Yeah, including the stretch four and Renaud, that if he actually can make it and make the roster, yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But using your criteria, Janai can play down low and score.
No. Yeah, so could Jahlil Okafor. How'd that work?
That was, again, a high pick. These are
and you're high.
Okay, these are five players that could be available when the Pistons select.
3 out of 5 are a five-star selection by you. You did a great job.
Thank you.
All right. David, the ticket text. We got Rieger coming up next. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I do appreciate the work you put in. And honestly, 3 of the 5, yes, the argument about Janai Broom was unfortunate. David, go ahead.
Someone says, isn't Chaz just another Sasser? Do
maybe.
We really need that?
I like shooters. Period. Renaud, shooter. Stretch four. Brea, dead-eye shooter. You know what I'm trying to find with players like that? Sam Hauser. I'm trying to find a guy that's going to shoot 40% from deep, 43% on spot-ups, and can be passable defensively.
But
can
don't you
play
12 that?
To 15 a night?
Don't you have that? He just had a bad playoff.
Who?
And Beasley.
He's $1,000 and he's expensive, and I don't know if you're bringing him back.
Okay, that's fair enough.
But this is a lottery ticket.
But Broom brings you something this team doesn't have.
Right, the athleticism of my dead grandfather.
No, yeah. Can you go post up, score?
Who posts up anymore?
Make it you can be that guy.
Yeah, okay.
You know what? They do it in Denver.
I'm surprised Rico didn't have Bob Pettit on his list. Go ahead.
Broom is more athletic. Luka Garza. I'm sorry, less athletic Luka Garza,
thank
period.
You. Yeah, he's like RJ Arugio, the kid from BYU 20 years ago. Stop it. He's a folding chair with a nice haircut.
Someone else says,
I almost want to see them draft him now.
Oh, God help me, no.
Said, I wouldn't mind Broom. That's all they said. Yeah. That's
what a nuanced take. 248.
Johnny Broom is an unathletic Josh Smith. I didn't like Josh Smith. Don't need Broom. Okay.
I mean, I figured people.
Watch the Celtics take and my head will explode.
The people in this state got to see him play twice against both teams. So
I watched the draft coverage for 5 minutes after the reporter referred to Cooper Flagg's family as his contingency instead of his contingent.
Oh,
can't
this,
do it.
Would this be the time they put a random black person on TV instead of Cooper Flagg and named him Cooper Flagg?
I mean, you
ESPN.
Know. Call him Coop, maybe.
Can we just shutter that place? My God.
Please, please, please.
It's so bad.
Unless the Pistons make a trade, I don't care what they do tonight. I wanted them to trade up for Walter Clayton Jr.
I love that kid. He's an absolute assassin.
I do as well, but it's
there's
one
no
of those,
room at the end here.
And I was about to say, where is he going to play on this team? Because if not, you just become the Nets, and you just got a bunch of players and things and stuff.
I really hope somewhere it comes out that the Nets just picked names out of a hat or something. I don't know what they were doing.
Right.
First-round picks, none of it made much sense.
When I saw somebody nationally was like, well, guess what? The Knicks won that trade. Because I still take Mikal Bridges over all 5 of these players. Now, I don't know what the 5 players are going to do, but I got to thinking, like, yeah, if you gave me that chance, like, you could have these 5 players or Mikal Bridges, I'll take Bridges.
Yes, and they're probably going to trade him. Go ahead.
I'm getting worried about myself. The more you play that Stephen A. Smith drop, the more I think I'm understanding what he said.
Let's try.
What is wrong with me?
He has been waiting for a while. New Orleans has been waiting for a while.
That's fabulous.
I speak Stephen A.
That's tremendous. Rieger's with us. Hello, buddy.
What's going on, boys? How
What's
we doing?
On? Talk to me.
We have at who's, 6 o'clock.
Who's we?
The collective we, and Wojo is joining us.
Wojo is?
Yeah.
In studio?
Show. Yeah, 4 hours for me, of course, like 1:55 for Woj. But we have what I need to get to the bottom of. I heard the midday show, and I was perplexed by Doug and by Gator. And Wojo, I think, sides with them, which is very disheartening. But it's with this Alex Bregman stuff.
Oh, not this.
No, word comes out. Mike, forget the fact that he's hurt.
Oh, okay. I'll just forget that small detail. Hold on a second.
I don't understand why people are saying, okay, I have no other reason that I don't want him except that he didn't choose us to begin with. What kind of behavior is that?
How do you know he's available?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing.
I mean, it's reported that he might be.
This is why I can't stand the Bob Nightingale crap.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, if Margot Robbie gets a divorce and if she wants to sleep with Jeff Rieger, Jeff would be all about it. Well, there's a lot of ifs there. He's not available.
I'm just curious. Why am I all about it? You think I'd just take that?
You would.
Okay,
I'd surely hope so. My point would be this.
No.
You think she's pulling the strings in that relationship? Okay,
I was just making an example. It's such a faulty premise.
But here's the thing. You don't think there's a chance he gets traded?
There's a chance of lots of things happening, but it's not. Probability? I don't think it's a good one.
But why?
He's hurt.
He's hurt right now.
Has to come back, show he's any good. Plus, here's the thing. He's getting paid like Aaron Judge.
Yes.
So he can opt out. It's tricky for the Red Sox.
But it's cheaper if he opts out.
Right, but the Red Sox started playing better baseball.
Understood, but they just got swept by the Angels. I get it.
I understand. Look, if it becomes that he's available, you make a phone call. I don't have a problem. People saying I don't want him because he hurt my feel. I know what you're referring to. You're referring to the Midday Show.
Yes!
Say it with your chest.
That's what I said. I said something I heard on Doug and Scott Show. So we're going to try to get to the bottom of that.
It's ridiculous. You go after the best players regardless of if they've hurt you or not. And I don't care if he's unsigned or can opt out. It lowers his price.
Exactly. So we're going to hit on that. Plus, we have a great question. A fabulous question. Who is more valuable to their team, Dan Campbell or A.J. Hinch? Either one of you guys.
I'm going to go A.J.
I'm going to go AJ.
Because he's making the lineup card every day, and it's the in-game maneuvers that coaches don't really make.
And this is where, you know, Cookies and I will always disagree. I don't think Campbell called the offense. I think Campbell called the fourth down plays, but I think it was Ben, and that was Ben's offense. And Campbell would say, no, we're going to go for it on fourth down. Let's run this play.
Yeah, the way it works is fourth downs, you get on the headset, you give me your best play pass.
Yeah. Right.
And then Ben calls play. It's not like Dan gets in the headset and is like, give me split banana 76, waggle right on two.
But I've had not a bunch of people saying, no, Campbell called the offense. I was like, actually, he didn't. Ben Johnson's job was that.
You know what? Don't you understand that Ben Johnson, the minute he left Detroit, became Ray Liotta at the end of Hannibal?
Apparently.
That's what these people think.
The brain scene? Where he has no idea that he's eating his own brain?
That's in the world of Lions fans? That's what they think of Ben Johnson. But when he was here, he was football Jesus.
And he was never going to leave because why would you want to leave?
Because he likes it here.
So, yes, I would say AJ just for all the little nuances that he does every game.
Can I ask you a quick question, though? Serious question, and then you guys can go home. I promise. Okay, serious question. Short show for you guys today.
What?
The second Hannibal, if you will.
Okay.
Sequel, maybe the worst sequel of any great movie ever, correct? He's taking up his headset.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.